Thanks for listening to the Best of Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
This is the Best of the Herd with Colin Cowherd on Fox Sports Radio.
What up? Welcome in. This is The Herd, wherever you may be and however you may be making this part of your day. Thanks so much. I'm Doug Gottlieb. Okay, so the news just in is that all sources are reporting Aaron Rodgers is going to play for the Packers this year. I did not have that news when I started the show telling you that you wouldn't have posted a Last Dance image on Instagram unless you intended this on being your last dance. And the point is this, when I use the word terrorist, there'll be somebody that's not smart enough to figure out the analogy. But the analogy is very, very simple. You don't negotiate with terrorists, right? Like we've learned this for a long time as a country, like we don't negotiate with terrorists. Why? Because if you let somebody get away with, if you negotiate with somebody because when they're holding over your head a terrorist act, then that's all they need to do is blackmail you in that way in the future. And I thought we saw it in my business going back a week and a half ago, where there are people that move from company to company because they do things and they're like, it's not that you're not good, but we're not going to re-engage because the acts you've done are not ones in which we can support, because anybody could do that. Like, that's really what's at stake here. For the Packers to trade Aaron Rodgers, they would be the laughingstock of the entire NFL. Remember, this is not nothing that they have done. Nothing. You will go, if you went GM to GM to GM, I haven't asked everyone. I don't have everyone on speed dial. I have a couple, but they all say the same thing. Like, you don't trade a Hall of Fame quarterback coming off an MVP season. Well, what about drafting Jordan Love? Okay, well, he was a prospect. They moved up to get him because somebody else was going to get him. And when they expect to be able to play him is next season, and that's the first season you kind of got an out in Aaron Rodgers' contract. Just because he doesn't like that they got a backup plan doesn't mean you don't have a backup plan. Well, I don't like that you have a backup plan. I'm like, okay, just keep playing well, and all that takes care of itself. If you don't think the heir apparent thing is important, ask the Miami Dolphins how it worked out for them since they lost Dan Marino. Or the Broncos, up until they got Peyton Manning, what that felt like after John Elway. I mean, the Buffalo Bills wandered in the proverbial desert when Jim Kelly retired, up until they finally got Josh Allen. So you got to have a plan B. And look, you're not going to talk to a bigger Aaron Rodgers fan. The idea that Jordan Love will be anywhere near the quarterback of Aaron Rodgers, it's hard to believe, hard to fathom. But you're not going to draft you're in the top 10 if you have Aaron Rodgers in your team. It's not like you're going to ever have a shot at one of the... So if you're going to take a guy, you got to get a guy that there's a reason that he's fallen in the draft. This guy had one good year, one disappointing year. Crazy personal story where his dad is a police officer, took his own life, and the kind of community brought him up. He's not a freak athlete, but he's athletic enough. He's got the arm. Like, who knows if he'll ever be a player? They took a shot. And oh yeah, by the way, in bookending the season before and the season after, they drafted Jordan Love, NFC Championship games. So, like, what are we doing here? I don't even know what the discussion was over. Aaron Rodgers wasn't, isn't, can't be going anywhere if you're the Green Bay Packers. That ain't the plan, bro. And even the Texans not trading Deshaun Watson go like, hey, we'll take 5 first-round draft picks. You ask so much for a guy that you're going to get turned down. Because I wouldn't negotiate with terrorists. Deshaun Watson just signed a contract a year ago. But that thing was just... It's basically money paid up front for he had 3 years paid up front without playing it down on that contract. And he's like, yeah, I went out. What? Yeah, I went out. What is the value of a contract if the second you sign it, you can say you want to be traded? You know? What's the value of the contract? And so you look, and we have three star quarterbacks, Russell Wilson, Aaron Rodgers, Deshaun Watson. And to this point, Deshaun Watson is the most likely to be traded, but none have been traded. And this is, in fact, the difference in the NBA and the NFL. The NBA guys have either said, I want to be traded, trade me, or even done the James Harden quit on their team, which is reprehensible. The great thing about the NFL, or at least the Aaron Rodgers situation, is he doesn't have the time, right? He's like Marissa Tomei. His biological clock is ticking over here. Like, we can all think that he's going to be Tom Brady in 5 years, but you don't want to lose one of these last couple years, especially when you have a championship team. So all of this talk and nonsense about you got to trade him. No one I know in the NFL thought he was going to be or should be traded. Like, it'd be one thing if the Packers were a team that made colossal F-up moves after colossal F-up moves. Like, they just couldn't get out of their own way. You're like, listen, none of that makes sense, but they're the Packers, so it makes sense. That's the opposite of this. It's the opposite. It doesn't mean the Packers make the best moves, but they try and make the smart moves. And it's just not smart to trade away because he's mad, sitting MVP, arguably greatest quarterback in the history of your franchise that has two other all-time greats as quarterbacks. So forget what you've heard. The devil is in the details of the contract. He can't go anywhere. He can't retire. Because he can't lose the year, he doesn't want to pay back the money, and once he comes back, they still own his rights, and they can just sit on him if they want, or they can trade him somewhere he doesn't want to go. And oh yeah, by the way, all of this when he has a championship team sitting waiting. If I'm a bettor, I go to BetRivers, and I'm like, that's the one I want right now. Because remember, all the odds, you heard this nonsense over the weekend. This is so, it's so obvious. Please tell me you all see through this. Aaron Rodgers wanted to be traded. They're like, we're not trading you. And then the trade rumors come out the day of the NFL draft. Why? Because, truth be told, that was the last day in which you could trade him. After the draft is made, those draft picks don't have nearly the value. And future draft picks, they have untold value because you give somebody Aaron Rodgers. That's why the story came out then. Then Aaron Rodgers goes on Scott Van Pelt. He goes on a couple podcasts. And basically, he's like, hey, either me or Brian Gutekunst. And they're like, yeah, we're not doing that. They talked about money. He's like, yeah, we're not doing that. Then this comes out. You know, the discussion about the extension comes out the end of last week. Why? Because they knew by this week, Aaron Rodgers had to be in camp. He ain't writing a check for $90,000 every day, and it's not at the discretion of the Green Bay Packers. This is a league and NFLPA agreed to. Like, that dude's losing $90,000 a day. There ain't a rich dude alive who's like, sign me up for $90,000 a day to make a point. What's the point? That I'm stupid with money? No. These stories come out for a reason. Aaron Rodgers is kicking and screaming, and his agent, they're trying to figure out a way to motivate the Packers to trade him. And finally, they're like, we're not. And so today, right when Brian Gutekunst is speaking to the shareholders in Green Bay, the story's like, yay, he's going to be back for one more year. Everybody expects that. Of course. Of course.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Man, did you guys watch Luka last night? He was pretty amazing. 48 points. It's a 40-minute game. It's crazy. He's so good, it's stupid. He's really, really that good. It's really stupid how good he actually is. Man, that's fun stuff. Here's the part that is hard to tell people. Okay, it's really hard to tell people. So The Big 12 is, at least as it was currently constructed with 10 teams, it is no more. No more. Now, if we want to really lay blame, like, there'll be people in Missouri and Nebraska like, I can't, see, told you the league wasn't stable. Like, well, it wasn't stable because Nebraska and Missouri openly opined to get in the Big Ten. It's like your wife saying, you know, take out the garbage. And the husband saying, you cooked, you take it out, right? Like, you got to take some sort of blame and accountability, and Nebraska and Missouri have offered none. The real value in the league, right? You have to understand where and what your value is. And it doesn't, look, I went to one of these schools. I love my alma mater. They built an amazing sports program and built up the budget to where it's, you know, it's in the $100 million variety. It's pretty remarkable they're able to compete with Texas, who's spending $100 million more in the exact same space. It's kind of amazing to compete. And as much as, like, let's just take Oklahoma State as the example. Oklahoma State has more alums that are superstars that you don't, you know, obviously Garth Brooks and Randy Couture and, like, go through the MMA guys. So many of them were great wrestlers, many of them at Oklahoma State. Victor Hovland, of course, is going to play for Norway here in the Olympics. And the golf school is incredible. Right? It's got a great equestrian program. The baseball program now has maybe the nicest stadium in the country. Like, you just kind of go through it. And the football team has gone from a doormat to a school that can beat everybody except really Oklahoma, right? They beat Stanford in the Fiesta Bowl. They've had first-round pick quarterbacks, first-round pick wide receivers. They've had a lot of talented players. But it doesn't, your level of success on the field and even the names that you've been able to create and produce and have had excel as professionals, that doesn't change whether or not middle America will watch TV every time you're on. And the only schools in that league, okay, that bring eyeballs consistently to TV sets in football are Oklahoma and Texas. Iowa State's been a better football program than Texas over the past 5 years. Hell, over the past 20 years, maybe 15 years, since Colt McCoy got hurt against Alabama in the BCS National Championship game, you could make the case that Kansas State has been a better program than Texas has. But that doesn't matter. It doesn't mean anything in how this all works. You know, it all works. And really, if you want to get down to it, Missouri and Nebraska are the reason for the downfall of the Big 12, right? Because they could have. Missouri wanted, they feel like, and they probably are more of a Big 10 school than anything else, and they fit, and it would have given them their natural rivalry with Illinois in conference play. It would have been great. But at the end of the day, it was a lust for more money. The problem with, like, Missouri spending more money to get into the SEC is you have to spend more. You got to spend more on your coaches. You got to spend more on your travel. You got to upgrade all your facilities. And so, yeah, you make more money, but you spend a whole hell of a lot of money. For Texas, the calculus is different. It does make sense for Texas. And frankly, makes sense for Oklahoma from not just a financial standpoint, but Oklahoma and Texas, they pretty much have, I know Texas, they have their facilities. They don't have to upgrade anything. How much they pay their coaches don't have to upgrade. They've gone big in basketball. They've gone big in football. They've gone big in baseball. They're big in everything. They're building a new arena. They don't have to do anything. For them, it's simply like, hey, look, we can either have Iowa State, Kansas State, TCU, and Texas Tech come into our building, or we can have LSU and Florida and Georgia and Alabama and Auburn and Arkansas and now still Oklahoma come through our building. We still, like, it's a, the bigger, the one that hurts more is Oklahoma, because they've been in the league with their brethren for like 70 years, and you're just leaving that behind for bigger check and I guess sustainability. But if at Oklahoma State, it would have been a sustainable league. Is it a sustainable league as is? Not really. But I think where it works is with the Big with the Pac-12. Maybe not all of them. Maybe Kansas can go to the Big Ten where their football will get murdered and their basketball will still be very, very competitive. Maybe Iowa State goes as well. They're a member of the, I think it's called the AAC. It's about their the school, not about the athletic department. They'll get murdered in football and murdered in basketball, but they'll have the rivalries with the Wisconsins and the Iowas of the world and the Kansas of the world still. But for the Pac-12, now the Pac-12, they have similar success and big markets, only the time zones kill them. And this would give them a chance at games in better time zones. Instead of having 9 a.m. local starts, you could have 11 a.m. local starts. Does the Big 12 survive as it's currently constituted? No. No. And this is me as an alum telling you the hard truth about my own alma mater. No matter how good and how passionate it probably brings, I haven't done any study. I would guess that Oklahoma State probably brings the most eyeballs of anybody remaining in the Big 12, but that's not really a strong argument for making $30 million a year anymore. They have to find a way, you know, to expand to Texas so that you keep all the Texas high school football players, because kids at the end of the day want to play close to home. You're still going to lose the top kids to the SEC schools. Do you expand out west where you might get that big paycheck, although the travel for Olympic sports is going to be treacherous? Do you just break into pieces, which is a possibility? These are not good things. And you can say what you want if you're Texas and Oklahoma, and it's not about them. It's about there's supposed to be a conference feeling where you're tied and bound together, and to just diminish that because of a check, it's not what it's supposed to be about. Apparently it is.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Hey, it's me, Rob Parker. Check out my weekly MLB podcast, Inside the Parker, for 22 minutes of piping hot baseball talk featuring the biggest names and newsmakers in the sport. Whether you believe in analytics or the eye test, we've got all the bases covered. New episodes drop every Thursday, so do yourself a favor and listen to Inside the Parker with Rob Parker on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcast.
John Middlecoff joins us. Three and Out is the podcast. I kind of dig this handball thing, but it does feel like water polo for dudes that don't want to get into the banana hammocks and the pool.
I like that. Yeah, I mean, it's not bad. I'm a traditional guy, honestly. Like, I think we've jumped the shark a little bit with adding things. I'm a golf guy, but golf should not be in the Olympics. Soccer, I'm not really feeling it. Like, I don't know about you. You know, Summer Olympics, swimming, all the track and field. Like, I was good with that. Like, that you know, the gymnastics. There's just too much stuff going on.
Well, I mean, now we're going to three-on-three basketball.
I'm not trying to be negative Nancy here.
No. We're going to three-on-three basketball. Like, really? How come? Why do we have three-on-three? We don't have one-on-one. And if we're going to have, like, archery and all these shooting stuff, like, well, why not have shooting games or a horse? I'm the Olympic horse champion. Yes, I do think the Olympics jumped the shark a long time ago. They're still fun. Sport that you find yourself watching that you're like, God, I don't even want to tell anybody I'm watching this.
Well, I'll be completely honest. I haven't watched really a second. I watched a little bit of volleyball yesterday, but I mean, if it's on, you know, whether it's ping pong and stuff like, you know, I'll watch the stupidest sports if there's literally nothing else on.
The ping pong's awesome because now you start to, like, I'm texting all my buddies, like, here's the real ping pong rules. Okay. You can't be swinging your racket forward, your paddle forward before you hit the ball. You have to watch how the real ping pong dudes do it. I mean, really?
Could you last multiple hits in a volley against, like, the elite guy, do you think?
Multiple hits?
Yeah, multiple hits. Not just one.
Yeah. I couldn't win. I mean, I have no chance of winning.
No. Could you last five hits?
On a rally? Like, one, two, three, four, like, rally, like... Yeah, ping pong with ping pong rally
with
on
the, with the gold ping medal ping pong type guy rally on at 90 miles an hour. I don't know.
No, but they don't hit it 90 miles an hour every time. They just, when they're going to finish you off, that's what they do. It's not like Forrest Gump where they're back there just, it's not like Forrest Gump where they're just wailing away at each other. That's, it is a movie. John Middlecoff joining us here. I like watching ping pong. I do. I don't, there are some of these rules with games, sports, which I don't really know the rules to as all. When I'm like, seemed like a foul. Okay. Let's start with Aaron Rodgers. Their Ian Rappaport says, Rodgers indicated to people close to him that he plans to play for Green Bay this season. Many factors at play, but GM Brian Gutekunst say he's hopeful for a positive outcome. That was Ian Rappaport. David Bakhtiari then, quote, retweets it. Wow, guess we aren't close people at Aaron Rodgers 12. What happens with Aaron Rodgers in the next week?
Well, I think it's just, it's a money game. I mean, he makes $37 million this year. There are 17 games, and he's still making over $2 million a game. In the history of America, no one's ever turned down $37 million for 6 months' work. So there was no chance he was ever retiring. And I think it's pretty clear that, I mean, not that we all didn't know, his leverage, he was somewhat stuck this year, you know, and it was a little bizarre, and you and I had talked about it. Maybe he could have got something done if he would have really, like, pedaled to the metal right after the season ended. But he kind of came out of left field right around the draft. Right, you could argue if he would have started like April 1st and gave 4 weeks, who knows? I probably still not traded, but who, you never know. But it was too late, and you're not going to trade him now. So he's going to play. It kind of makes sense. Like those guys tweeting pictures of the last dance, like this is their last dance. But I saw you, you know, going back with like Mike Silver on Twitter. The Packers, you know, I mean, in theory, this could be his last year, but what if they're good again? You know,
well, that's where Silver's like, well, you know, they could do lop off the 2 years. Like, hey, you know what we should do? We have leverage and we have the ability to own his rights for 2 more years or trade him or whatever. You know what we're going to do? Since he made it personal and all, basically called us all jerks and idiots. Let's take off those last 2 years of contract just because. Like, why would they do that? We're paying you $37 million. Like, I don't see them doing that.
I think some stuff with the NFL kind of takes on a life of its own on social media. Like Devontae Adams last week, you know, it came out that he had turned down the contract. And it made sense, right? He's comparing himself. I'm the best wide receiver in the league. Hopkins did this weird contract that was short-term, but they basically gave him $25 million a year for 2 straight years guaranteed. Like, that's the number I want to go off of. And then everyone's like, oh, he's going to hit free agency. When does a guy like Devontae Adams ever hit free agency? He never does. So if they did, quote-unquote, choose to get rid of those two guys, can you imagine the haul they would get for Devontae Adams and Aaron Rodgers? That would happen next year. They would franchise and they would tag and trade Devontae and trade Aaron Rodgers. But still, like, I think we are a long way away from all that happening, especially because if these guys show up, they're two of – I mean, Aaron was the reigning MVP. Devontae's clearly one of the best non-quarterbacks in the league. They're going to be really good. Who's to say, like, if a couple things go right, they could beat the Bucks and they're in the Super Bowl and they win a Super Bowl. You know, I mean, we've seen crazier. So I think everything's on the table right now beside him not playing for the Packers, which clearly he's going to do.
Okay, help me out with this. Tom Brady, he basically called other teams idiots for a couple of teams for passing on him. And he likened himself to Wayne Gretzky and Michael Jordan. This is a new Tom Brady, right? And you and I know, it's like what people don't know, Bill Belichick has a great personality with players. Otherwise, forget about what he does in the media. None of that matters. What you do with the players, they wouldn't buy in unless they bought into him as a guy. And Tom Brady's aw, gee, shucks thing, this is the real Tom Brady. That said, like, how did we get to Tom Brady becoming like a diva wide receiver talking about himself this much?
Well, I think for the first time last year, right, he'd never hit free agency in his entire life. I mean, he'd spent 20-plus years on the one team. And finally, he is available, and he's the most accomplished player in the history, probably, of, you know, maybe there's been some NBA players, but in football, for sure, that's ever been available and still playing pretty well, even though he's coming off. Listen, I don't quite blame the Patriots. Like, I might have shorted him too. But in his mind, like, he could still really play. And let's face it, a lot of teams did not want him. The Niners, who just were coming off a Super Bowl, said, we're going to stick with Jimmy Garoppolo, right? The Raiders were, I've heard, were kind of lukewarm on him. Like, they chose Derek Carr over him. Clearly, the Tennessee Titans, and listen, Tannehill had a good year, but, like, they chose Ryan Tannehill over Tom Brady. And then Tom Brady goes, and he wins the Super Bowl. Like, I kind of understand it. You're right, though. We never hear him talk like it. Though, you know, this is the way normal, I would say in any walk of life, competitive people talk. They just Correct. Don't always do it publicly. So, but he kind of validated it. Like, these guys legitimately told me, no, we're not that interested. No, we're going to stick with our guy. Like, that happened. It legitimately happened. And then he won the Super Bowl for a team that hadn't made the playoffs in 12 years. Like, it really is pretty crazy the way it all worked out, right?
I mean, absolutely.
They got him,
is.
And they didn't even pay him that much. We talk about Dak Prescott, he's making $40 million a year. Tom's making 25. They got Tom Brady for $25 million.
Okay, Deshaun Watson. Now he's showing up, so he's basically doing the Marshawn Lynch. I'm just here so I don't get fined. I mean, the first thing, though, when I hear trade rumors and at least an outrageous price tag being asked and he's there, it does signify to me, and I don't know, okay? I don't profess to know at all what happened with all the masseuses. But I don't think it would be this public that he's out there and now at new trade demands unless there was the feeling that these lawsuits weren't going to make.
I talked to someone, I wouldn't say in the know, but he's part of a team that would be very interested. And they obviously, you know, they have done a ton of due diligence as much as humanly possible. There's only, you get to a point where, you know, the cops aren't going to tell you everything, but they are feeling more and more comfortable if it ever does. Again, these have to go away. I could not, and I have a hard time seeing general managers with this stuff up in the air. Once it becomes whatever, if there's a settlement, if it goes away, then it'd be free game. But right now, when we see like the rumors that of all the picks he would go for, like I'm sorry. When this is hanging over his head, like it's like you buying a house in a seller's market, and usually quarterbacks, you got to waive contingencies. You got to overpay. It's part of the deal. But when you have a legal situation like this, even if you feel pretty comfortable that it's going to go away, until it goes away, how could you possibly pay three ones and a two for just something that like all of a sudden he's on your team and then it turns out, well, there was that one issue that might have been a little more shady than we thought, but the others are not as crazy. Like that would be a disaster. Like if I was the Texans right now, I would want to rid my hands of it and get, you know, 100% value. But if I was the other team, if I was going to trade for him now, which I still think a lot of owners would probably be a little like, can't we just wait a little bit? Unless, you know, you could get him for 50 cents on the dollar, but why? What's the incentive for the Texans to do that? So I just think we're at a stalemate until it gets, you know, finality. And then he's just too talented of a player for there not to be, you know, multiple teams bidding, which will just naturally drive up the price.
How much different do we look at the Rams losing their starting running back before the season ever began?
Yeah, I mean, it's not ideal because he is a really talented player, but he was banged up. When he got hurt, I went and looked. I was like, you know, this guy had a good rookie season. Well, he had multiple injuries last year. So he to just assume that he was going to be some bell cow 17 games, we do that, and I did it when I was in the NFL. We do it, you know, talking about football. But, like, I still think that was a pretty big stretch. Now, they drafted him in the second round. You know, it's an injury that who knows, maybe he'll never be the same. You hope he comes back, but you never know. It is the one position, though, especially in that offense, right, the Shanahan zone running offense, that you should be able to replace him, right? Like if that was Jalen Ramsey or Cooper Kupp or one of their stalwarts, right, it'd be a massive blow. While it feels like a big blow on paper, to me, it's just a position where, I mean, didn't they remember the year they made the Super Bowl and Todd Gurley kind of fell off a cliff at the end of the season? Like C.J. Anderson off the scrap heap and boom, he was a starting running back in the playoffs. You know, so it is the
yes, but that was a different offensive line. That was it. But they're trying to rebuild this offense and build it through him.
You can patchwork it with several guys, I guess is my point.
Last thing, Cowboys, Dak's back. Oh, he looks great. Tyron Smith, 308. Like you can see ab muscles on your starting left tackle. Here we are again with the, okay, I'm kind of in on the Cowboys thing, but the defense was completely made over. The Cowboys haven't really beaten a good team in two seasons. Where are you on the Cowboys as of, where are we, July, whatever day today is, July 26th?
Yeah, I mean, on paper, their offense should be elite. I mean, you just see some of the clips of CeeDee Lamb. I think there's a chance in like 5 or 6 years we'll go like, CeeDee Lamb lasted to pick 17. He should have gone like top 7. And obviously, Amari's solid, even though he's hurt right now. Gallup's a good player. You know, you hope Zeke can just show some signs of life. Like, let's face it, he's been a little shell of himself, but, you know, Pollard was really good. I mean, Dak's a solid player. Their offense is going to be fine. It's just defensively. And, okay, they get rid of Mike Nolan. You know, easy move. He was terrible. But Dan Quinn has not exactly been, you know, Buddy Ryan the last couple years. So just to assume, I know he's a name and people like the guy, but he has not been some schematic genius, right? I would say Atlanta, definitely over the last, you know, since Kyle left, it felt like they were a joke on defense, right? And he is a defensive guy. When they hired him, he was Pete's defensive coordinator. So to assume that he's just going to come and fix everything. Now, the kid they drafted from Penn State, that guy's a baller.
Yep.
That guy can really
Micah
play.
Parsons.
But the other guys, the Lawrence, who they signed a couple years ago to a big deal, is underachieved. You know, they lost a corner last year in free agency to the Miami Dolphins. So it's just like, are they even that, you know, Van Der Esch gets hurt all the time. Jalen Smith, who Jerry was so proud of signing because of what he overcame.
Yeah, can't
but
really
does
play.
Have some deficiencies.
Yeah, can't
so
run.
So it's like, you could argue are just like their offense is talented. Is their defense really that talented? Like, even if Dan Quinn does a good job, you know, do they really have the horses over there, especially in that division? Because that division with the Giants and definitely the football team, they have good defenses. So maybe you can neutralize the Cowboys a little bit and you can score on them. But the Cowboys, I don't think it's crazy to say they should compete to win that division if Dak plays 17 games.
John Middlecoff, 3 and Out is the podcast. I encourage you to download it as he will be getting ready to, I'm sure, tape another one here in the very near future. Thanks so much for joining us, John.
Later, bro. Have a good day.